Well, good morning, everybody. We are so glad that you have joined us here. If you're new around here, my name is Barry. I'm the senior pastor here at IBC. And we're especially glad that you have joined us today as we launch a new two-week series called TBD about finding and following the will of God. Now, I got to let you on a little secret, a little behind the scenes of how this series came about. We found ourselves in the midst of everything that's changed over the course of the last number of months. So many of our plans just flew out the window. And I sat at my computer one day looking at the preaching calendar, and we had a couple of weeks that were open that I didn't know what we were going to do next. And so I just wrote on the page, TBD, to be determined. And as soon as I saw it, I realized that's it, right? That's the series. As soon as I saw it on the page, my mind went immediately to the passage that we're going to look at today and the subject that we're going to look at over the course of the next couple of weeks, finding and following the will of God. Now, I think we can all recognize and acknowledge that our lives really are made up of the sum total of the choices that we make. That we find ourselves navigating life and coming to a place of a fork in the road and having to make decisions, and that our lives, who we become, where we end up, the lives that we have are the result of the choices that we make. Will I go to this college or that college? Should I date this person? Should we get married or should we break up? Should I take this job? Should I move to that city? Should we buy this house? Should I end this relationship? Should I leave this job? That our lives are the sum total of the choices that we make. And some of us have made some choices along the way that we continue to deeply regret. Some of us have whole seasons of our lives that we wish we could redo because we made a choice and it took us down a path that we didn't see coming. And so what we so deeply want, what we so deeply need when we find ourselves at those decision points in life is to find and follow the will of God. And I know that there's some of you who are watching this morning and you've got something that you're facing. You've got a decision that you're coming up to. You've got one of those forks in the road. And I hope this message is very practical and helpful and encouraging for you. Others of us might not be at precisely that place right now, but we will be at some point. And I hope that you can take this message to heart and carry it with you as we move forward. For all of us want, all of us need to find and follow the will of God. But surely God's will is one of the most elusive, one of the most confusing concepts in the Christian life and in Christian vocabulary. I mean, we talk about it, but I wonder if sometimes we really know what we mean. It's like we know we should want to find and follow God's will, but what exactly does that entail? Sometimes we talk about God's will as though everything that happens because it was God's will. And then sometimes we talk about it as though it's a bullseye that we're aiming at. And if we miss it just a little to the right or to the left, a little high, a little low, that we've missed it, that we've gotten off the path of the will of God, and that we're headed toward a dead end. We're headed towards misery and ruin. What do we mean when we talk about the will of God? And how do I, in fact, find it and follow it? Well, this morning, we're going to look together at a passage in James chapter 4 that I think is going to give us some helpful understanding. So if you have a Bible, grab it and let's go James chapter 4 and look at this passage together. We're going to begin in verse 13. And what I want to do is simply kind of walk you through this passage and then offer some practical ways that I think we can apply its truth to our lives. So look with me, James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. James, the brother of Jesus, writes these words and he says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go from this city to this city or to that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business and we'll make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen to you tomorrow. What is your life? You're like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. Now, James begins by addressing a group of people who are making plans. They're planning and preparing to relocate, to work hard, and to make some money. And I think it's really important right off the bat simply to say the problem here isn't that they're planning and preparing to work hard and make some money. There's nothing inherently wrong with working hard and making money. In fact, I think God wants us to work hard and to make money, to take care of our needs, to take care of the needs of our family, and to be generous with the people around us. There's nothing inherently wrong about working hard and making money. That's not what these folks are getting in trouble for. And they're not in trouble for planning and preparing. Once again, there's nothing inherently wrong about planning and preparing. In fact, I think it can be a problem if we fail to plan and to prepare. But I think that what we see here is that the problem is that they've completely left God out of the picture. That they're planning and they're preparing, but they have not consulted God. That they are not doing this planning, preparing, submitting to his desire, his will for their lives. I think this shows us one of the real pitfalls that we can fall into when it comes to thinking about and understanding what it means to find and follow the will of God. And that first one is this idea of mindless negligence, a kind of mindless negligence that for some of us, that when it comes to thinking about God's will for our lives, as we plan and prepare for the future, we just don't even think about it. It's mindless negligence. It's not mindless with regard to our preparation, our planning. It's mindless with regard to God. And I think sometimes even in my own life, I've been guilty of that, where I'm making decisions, where I'm moving forward and I'm not even pausing to think about what is God's desire for my life? That we can find ourselves so prone to mindless negligence. And so he addresses them and he does not flatter them. He says to them, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James doesn't flatter them. He doesn't flatter us. He says, you're like a mist, like a vapor. Your life is fleeting in the whole grand scheme of things. It's tiny. It moves by so fast. I've certainly been feeling the idea of life as a mist or a vapor here of late. My wife, Kim, is about 6 months older than I am. And so I always really get a kick out of that 6 months after she's had a birthday, but before I have my own. And I've really enjoyed, especially in this season, being able to kind of give her a hard time about getting close to 50, while I, on the other hand, am still in my mid-40s. But I've got a birthday coming up in about 6 weeks. My mid-40s are about to be gone, and I'm moving into close to 50. Not only that, I've got a son who's started his freshman year of college this year, and I'm having that realization that all the things that I thought I would do, all the things that we would do together, my opportunities have gone by. That life just moves so fast. Our life is like a mist, like a vapor. I think what James is getting at here is the recognition that we all too often rely on our own self-dependence and self-sufficiency, that we get caught up in ourselves, that when we don't consult God, when we live from this place of a mindless negligence, that it betrays an exalted view of ourselves and our own self-importance, and neglects God in the process. It's a warning then about self-reliance and self-sufficiency. And this is why God doesn't just give us his plan for our lives. Right? So often I think we find ourselves saying, God, I want to just know your plan. Just give me the plan. I remember so vividly being in my early 20s. It was around the very first time that I walked into Irving Bible Church over on Finley Road. And I was a young man who was dedicated to a life of ministry. And yet I found myself just so overwhelmed by a sense of, but what does this mean, God? What does this mean for my life? What is your plan? I wanted a roadmap. I wanted the plan. But I think there's a couple of reasons why God doesn't give us the plan up front. A couple of reasons why God doesn't give us the roadmap. The first reason I think is that he knows that we're likely to screw it up, right? That if God gave me the roadmap ahead of time, there's a good chance that I'm just gonna mess it up. Have you ever found yourself in that place of stuck in the rerouting loop with your GPS, right? Where you miss a turn and so your GPS begins rerouting you, but before you get rerouted, you've missed the next turn and so now it's rerouting you again. I did this the other day. I was going to pick up my kids and I was just stuck in this loop where it couldn't quite catch up with all the mistakes that I was making to try to get where I was trying to go. And I think God knows that my tendency is to operate that way in life. To take the map that he has given me and take it to myself and my own self-sufficiency and just make a mess of the whole thing. I think one of the reasons that God doesn't give us the map is that he knows we'll mess it up. But the second reason I think that he doesn't give us the plan is because he knows that we would be likely to pursue the plan without pursuing him. That we likely would pursue the plan that he's given us and not pursue him. And for God, the truth of the matter is, and one of the things that we all really need to know when it comes to the will of God is that his presence is the plan. That his priority for us is much more about living in relationship with him than it is about the path that we're going down. That it's more about our intimacy with God. It's more about practicing his presence than living out his plan. And if I'm not practicing his presence, then all of the decisions that I might make, all of the ways in which I might try to navigate life are ultimately arbitrary. Because ultimately for God, his presence is the plan. That he knows that I need to walk closely in intimacy with him. And that's wherein I find the ability to discover and do God's will in my life, as I'm walking in intimacy with him. Now, James goes on from here and says, in verse 15, he says, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that, right? Instead of all this planning and preparing without consulting God, this life of a mindless negligence, rather, he says, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll go here and we'll do this or that. And you may hear that and go, okay, fine. But help me, right? How do I know if it's the Lord's will, right? If it's to be determined, how is it to be determined? Well, first, I think there's actually a misunderstanding, a very common way of understanding the will of God, but that I think that we need to rid ourselves of. A conventional wisdom with regard to God's will. And Jerry Sitzer, in his book, The Will of God as a Way of Life, captures this conventional wisdom this way. He says, convention teaches us that the will of God consists of a specific pathway that we should follow into the future. God knows what this pathway is, and he has laid it out for us to follow. Our responsibility is to discover this pathway, God's plan for our lives. Unfortunately, it's not always obvious. If anything, it's often ambiguous. We must figure out which of the many pathways that we could follow is the one that we should follow, the one God has planned for us. And if and when we make the right choice, we will receive his favor, fulfill his divine destiny, and succeed in life. But this conventional wisdom can lead us to a kind of anxious paralysis that we can find ourselves so feeling like, which pathway is it, God? And fearful that if we take the wrong path, that it's going to lead to all kinds of ruin. And so we find ourselves oftentimes at that crossroads, completely perplexed, paralyzed, unable to move, a kind of anxious paralysis. Which way do I go? What do I do? Fearful that we're going to mess it up and that we're going to miss God's will completely. But here's what I want to suggest. What if rather than a pathway, God's will is more like a playing field? And here's what I mean by that. We've been talking so far about the will of God in a very specific way. We've been talking about it in a very personal way, as though it's about God's will for my individual life. And yet I think we need to step back and consider God's will more broadly. And when we think about God's will, we really can, I think, talk about it in three kinds of ways. God's decreed will, God's declared will, and then God's directive will. Right, God's decreed will, that is what God divinely decrees. This is going to happen. This is the way that it is. When Jesus came into the world, that his crucifixion and resurrection was divinely decreed. It was going to happen. There was no stopping it. And sometimes there are things that God does in life and in this world that are just part of his decreed will. This is what's going to happen. This is what he is up to in the world. And oftentimes God's decreed will isn't clear until after the fact. And we realize this is what God is up to. This is what he has set out to sovereignly accomplish. And we need to understand God's decreed will. What is God up to in the world? What is he out to accomplish? But then there's God's declared will. His declared will is what we find in his word. The scriptures reveal to us, declare to us God's intention for how we ought to live. That it gives us a sense of kind of rules to live by. Things that we ought to do and things that we ought to avoid doing in order to find ourselves in the will of God. And so if we find ourselves facing a question like, should I move in with my boyfriend? Well, this is not a question with regard to God's directive will of my life, because it's a question that's answered by God's declared will. God's desire is for sexual intimacy to be between a man and a woman in the context of the covenant of marriage. And so God has given us his declared will to live within. There's the decreed will, what God is up to in the world. There's God's declared will, his explicit intention for our lives that we find in the pages of the scripture. And then there's God's directive will. That is God's personal plan for my life. And what if God's directive will is less like a path and more like a playing field with a lot of room for many different possibilities, but within boundaries. And the boundaries for understanding God's directive will are God's decreed will and God's declared will. That our job is to understand more fully what God is up to in the world, what he is setting out to sovereignly accomplish, what is his mission in the world, and to understand more fully God's declared will. What does God want from my life that he makes explicitly clear in the pages of the Bible? And then to live within those boundaries, to recognize that God has given us a lot of freedom to be able to make decisions. And our decisions are best and lead to our flourishing when they are made within the boundaries of God's decreed will and God's declared will. What if instead of a path, it's more like a playing field? And yet that pathway so often gets stuck in our imagination, and we find ourselves feeling that sense of anxious paralysis. So some of us perhaps swing towards mindless negligence. We don't even think about God when we think about our future, when we begin to plan and prepare. Mindless negligence, sometimes the opposite extreme is anxious paralysis. I'm fearful that I'm going to mess it up and I'm going to miss it. But then there's one more thing that I think we need to see. And that's found in this very last verse, in verse 17, where James says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for them. You see, I think some of us, the reason that we're resistant to finding and following the will of God for our lives is that we're afraid if we find it, we won't like it. We're afraid that if we find it, we won't want to do it. That if God actually made his will for our lives known, that our hearts would say, but I don't want to, God. That maybe rather than mindless negligence or anxious paralysis, some of us suffer from willful defiance. We may know what God's will for our lives is, but we just don't want to do it. A question about boundaries in a relationship. God, I know that we need to establish these kind of healthy sexual boundaries in our relationship, but I just don't want to do it. God, I know that I ought to stay and fight for my marriage, but I just don't want to do it. For some of us, our issue isn't mindless negligence or anxious paralysis, but willful defiance. And the call of God on our lives today is to be willing to surrender that area of our life to him. You see, God doesn't disclose his will for us in order for us to sit back and take a look at it, evaluate it, to see if we think it's a good idea or not. It doesn't work that way. God's desire for us is that we would be the kind of people that would say, God, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, whatever you ask of me, the answer is yes. I will do it. You see, friends, the will of God isn't found in mindless negligence. It's not found in anxious paralysis. It's not found in willful defiance. The will of God is found in present dependence. Being dependent upon God in this very moment. Now, how do we practice that kind of present dependence? Well, I want to offer just some, I think, practical ways for us to live this out each and every day of our lives. And the first one is simply to submit to God. And that may sound so basic, it may sound so simple, and yet it's a whole lot more complicated than it sounds. But that we would posture ourselves before God and say to him, truly, God, whatever it is, the answer's yes. I will do it. I will submit myself to you. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon says this. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. We hear that last line and go, I that sounds really great, God. I would love some straight paths in life. Well, it begins by a posture of trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And abandon your own dependence on yourself and your own self-sufficiency, your own sense of wisdom. And in all your ways, an older translation says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. But I think that sort of misses it, right? Because to acknowledge is to say, like, I see you. Like the guy sitting behind the camera right now is Chris. And I can say, hey, Chris, right? I acknowledge you. But the word here is stronger than this. The word is much more than just acknowledging your presence. It's submitting to your will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And he'll make your path straight. The night before he went to the cross, Jesus in the garden prayed to his Father. And he said this in Mark 14:36, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And God wants us to live our entire lives with that kind of posture of submission. Not my will, but your will be done. We practice present dependence by submitting ourselves to God. Second, submit yourself to God first. Second, seek counsel. The Bible repeats over and over and over again the importance of us seeking counsel in our lives. Solomon, who's the wisest man who ever lived, is the one who says it more often than anybody else. The wisest man who ever lived tells us time and time and time again that we need to seek wise and godly counsel in our lives. I can't tell you the number of times that I've found myself dealing with regret over a decision I made and recognized I didn't seek input from wise and godly people who could help me know how to navigate those decisions. Submit yourself to God, seek counsel, and third, take the next step of obedience that you know to take. That God doesn't give us the plan. His presence is the plan. He doesn't give us the plan because he knows that if he gave us the plan, there's a good chance that we would mess it up. That he knows that if he gave us the plan, there's a good chance that we would pursue the plan rather than pursuing him. And so his desire for us is that we would simply take one step at a time. Take the next step of obedience that you need to take. To say, God, I don't know what your plan is, but I know that your plan is your presence and my willingness to submit myself to you, to seek wise and godly counsel, and then to take the next step of obedience that I know to take, and to trust that you will help me to know the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I pray especially right now for anybody who's watching that is in that place in their lives where they are confused, where they are discouraged, where they need some sense of your direction for their lives. And God, I pray that in this moment you would meet them in that place to help them to know that your presence is your plan for them. And that you're calling them to walk in intimacy with and dependence upon you. And you give them the courage to just take that next step of obedience that they know to take as you reveal it to them. To recognize that there's a sense of freedom in knowing that your will for our lives is less a pathway that we can mess up and more a playing field to be lived out within the boundaries that you've established. And God, I pray this morning for that person who may know that they have crossed the boundaries. That this morning they know that they have gone outside of your will for their lives. God, I pray that today they would hear you wooing them back, not with a voice of shame that says, "How could you?" But with a voice of love that says, "Come to me. I can cleanse you, I can heal you, I can restore you, and we can walk together from here." So Lord, have your way in our lives today. Not our will, but your will be done. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.